All right, so today the theme of my sermon is the transfiguration of Jesus. So have you ever had a moment that completely changed how you saw something or someone? So have you have any experience to blow your mind at once when you saw something or someone? So Phil, you have some experience?
When I saw my rugby sign go well, I was pretty excited about that.
Mm-hmm. So something changed to you, your mind?
Yeah, I was pretty excited. I thought that's pretty good.
Okay, Phil, thank you. And Jane, how about you?
The first time, I think, in 2017 or 18. Mm-hmm. And grew up Catholic, but the way she shared and the way she looked, just the face, the peace that she had, and it kind of changed things for me, and I sought Jesus again. So I think I was born again then.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. Thanks, Jane. All right. So finally, Jackie. Jackie, so I think when you come over to Australia?
Back in 1964.
1964. So before you came to Australia, so what did you have about Australia?
Well, I went to live in a little town called Norwalk.
Yeah.
Which had nothing.
Mm.
I'd lived just outside of London and was very involved with my church in England, with the girls' brigade. I was a Sunday school teacher. I was a youth club leader. And I came out, and luckily my aunt and uncle were churchgoers here in Norwalk. So I went to the church with them, and then found my own church, which was Methodist, as it is uniting now. And all they had was a youth club once a month. I was bored out of my mind. Not from going to church or the youth club, but I had nothing else. I'd been used to going out 3-4 nights a week, but involved with my church. And it came that I only was going out to church twice a day. And once a month to a youth club. And that was my... So I was not very happy.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think each one of you have some experience to change your mind. There's something happened. So for me, before I came to Australia, just what I know about Australia is only AC/DC, Back in Black, something like some rock band, and some there are lots of farming, the strawberry or some lamb, and also I learned some Australian history, especially about the white policy. When I came over to Melbourne, my parents was really worried. Mike, you should be careful because that's some real racial discrimination is in Australia. You should be careful. But in here, in reality, last 20 years, I met only one person, some discriminated me, but most of people is really kind, really generous. Yeah. So I'm very happy with Australian life now.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
We were saying yesterday, I said, what is an Australian? What makes an Australian? We're all Australian.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We had that discussion. Not with you, but with someone else.
That's one of my sermon theme in for particular Sunday, so we will discuss about that day. So yeah. Maybe you discovered something about a friend that made you see them in a whole new way, or perhaps you experienced something that shifted your entire perspective on life. So let me share a funny story about transformation of my hair. During the COVID lockdown, I think you couldn't go to hair salon, right? So Edwin, how's your hair during the COVID lockdown?
My hair?
Yeah, your hair.
Yeah, it grew up a little bit. Yeah. I used to have every 3 weeks, but then COVID, there's no chance.
So did you cut your hair by yourself?
Oh, no, I did not. I just let it go.
How about Rose? How's your hair during the lockdown?
Same thing.
Yeah. It's really horrible time because I can't do anything for my hair. And especially our young people. Ina, how about you? How's your hair?
It got really long and then eventually I tried to cut it myself.
You said. Alright. So Sugar, how about you?
Same, really long and long cut it.
Long <Man cut it. laughs> So yes, sometimes I'd like to ask Hee-jung to cut my hair, but after she did, and then I don't believe you anymore, and I still let go. That's all. So anyway, during the COVID lockdown, as you know, I couldn't go to the hair salon for months. So when the lockdown finally lifted, I decided to try something different. So, perm. Oh, already here? You already saw that one. But it's totally different to what I expected. But I thought it might help hide my thinning hair because I'm losing my hair. So if I have perm, maybe it looks like looks more hairs on my hair. Something like that. That's the reason why I decided to have a perm. But in the middle of the process, I looked in the mirror and was shocked. Next one. That's where's my hair? I want to make my hair more flourished, but what is this? My hair looked absolutely crazy. Like I had barely any hair left at all. I thought, what have I done? But after the washing and final styling, yes, everything turned out fine. It looked, yes, people still, yes, laughing for this. But unfortunately, this is no more.
You look like a criminal.
So yeah, fortunately, I think this is no more anyway. It looked no more again. The moment in the middle of the process was truly a horrifying transformation. Sometimes transformations look scary in the middle. Sometimes we can see the final result until the process is complete. Today, we are going to talk about one of the most amazing moments in the Bible. When three of Jesus' disciples saw something that blew their minds. They saw Jesus transform right before their eyes on mountaintop. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Moses and Elijah appeared and talked with him. It was spectacular. It was glorious. Peter was so excited that he wanted to build three shelters and just stay there forever. He thought, this is it. This is what we have been waiting for. Jesus is showing us his true glory as the Messiah. Peter wanted to freeze that moment and live in it forever. I just imagine, I think the disciples of Jesus was still curious. Jesus is still Messiah, say he's the son of God, he's really king? Because they just looked at Jesus, when they looked at Jesus, he's just a carpenter. He's just a son of Joseph and Mary. He looked like just a normal person. But when they saw the transfiguration of Jesus, and they believed in Jesus, this is what we have been waiting for. He's truly king. He's truly son of God. He's truly Messiah for our countries. But here's the thing. Peter didn't really understand what he was seeing. You see, in those days, when people thought about glory, they thought about power, conquest, and dominance. The Roman Empire ruled the world with what they called Pax Romana. It means the peace of Rome. But it was not really peace. It was controlled through military might and fear. That's what the world called glory. Even Jesus' own disciples expected that kind of glory. They thought Jesus would overthrow Rome, establish a powerful kingdom, and rule from a throne in Jerusalem. They thought glory meant being on top, being the biggest, being the strongest. But Jesus came to show us a completely different kind of glory, an upside-down kind of glory. After this amazing mountaintop experience, Jesus led his disciples back down the mountain. And he told them something important. Don't tell anyone about this until after the Son of Man has risen from the dead. And he also said, don't be afraid. Why would Jesus say these things? Because he knew the real glory, the glory he came to reveal, was completely different from what they expected. The true glory of Jesus would be revealed not on a mountaintop, but on a cross. Not through power and conquest, but through sacrifice and love. Not by ruling over others, but by giving his life for others. The disciples saw Jesus shining in brilliant light on the mountain, but they would soon see him broken and bleeding on a cross. They saw him in majesty, but they would see him in humiliation. Which one was the real glory? The answer is both, but not in the way they expected. The cross looked like a defeat. It looked like the end. It looked like the opposite of glory. But in God's upside-down kingdom, the cross became the greatest glory of all. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus defeated sin and death itself. He opened the door to eternal life for all of us. That's true glory. I think Peter learned this lesson very well. Years later, when he wrote his letter to the early church, he remembered that day on the mountain. He said, "We were eyewitnesses of his majesty." But by then, Peter understood. He had seen Jesus die on the cross. He had seen Jesus rise from the dead. he had experienced the real transformation, not just the Jesus transformation, but his own transformation too. We are now standing at the threshold of Lent, a season where we walk with Jesus toward the cross. Over the next several weeks, we will journey through his suffering, his death, and finally, his resurrection. It won't always be comfortable. It might challenge what we think glory means. Because here's what I want us to understand. God's glory is not about being the biggest church or having the most successful programs. It's not about power or prestige or looking good to others. God's glory is about love, sacrifice, and service, and transformation. When we truly experience the glory of Jesus, his death and resurrection, it changes us. It changes how we live, how we love, and how we serve. It changes our families, our church, and even our world. So as we begin this Lenten journey, let's ask God to help us see his true glory. Not the glory the world offers, but the glory of the cross. The glory of a love so great that Jesus gave everything for us. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for revealing your true glory through Jesus. As we journey through Lent, open our eyes to see the glory of the cross. Transform us into people who love and serve like Jesus. Help us understand your upside-down kingdom and live it out in our lives, families, and church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.